Let's just lift our hands for a moment. Lord, we thank you and we praise you. Father, we thank you for this life you have given us. Lord, we pray today that you speak to us. Give us revelation, Father, through your word, whether it be what is being preached or not. Father, have your way in this place today. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You know, of all the things in this world we live for, I've been, you know, obviously preaching on pride, and we get to talking and learning more and more about pride. And, you know, one person I believe that knew a whole lot about pride, because if you look in the Bible, he spoke of it as actually as a subject versus pointing out pride, was Solomon. Here's a man who, when it was all said and done, all he could say, it was all in vain. Everything he had lived his life for was vanity. You know, that's not a place where you need to be as Christians. I don't know about you, but I don't want to have the largest church, the fanciest house, the nicest car. I don't want to have all this stuff and be considered wise in the eyes of the world and proud in the eyes of God. I would rather remain humble and wise in the eyes of God, so that at the end of my life, I don't write, it was all in vain. That's not what we want. That's not what we need. So hopefully by preaching on pride, we can all learn what pride really is. Let's bless the tithe and offering this morning. Hallelujah. Heavenly Father, I thank you and I praise you. Lord, for your people, Lord God, I bless them. I bless their faithfulness. I pray, Father God, that you move on their behalfs. Lord God, if they own businesses, Lord, that you bring new opportunities in that realm for them. Lord God, that you bring prosperity to them in that. Father, those that are employed by others, Lord, we pray that you bless their employer because they are a blessing. So, Father, we thank you and we praise you for a covenant we have with you. And Lord, I thank you for this tithe and this offering. I bless it, Father, right now in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, you may be seated. Hold it. Stop one thing. We got one thing to do. Anybody know what today is? Angela's birthday. So, we are going to sing a rousing rendition of Happy Birthday. Katie, would you lead? Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear Angela. Happy birthday to you. Praise God. Now to take her to a restaurant and tell everybody there it's her birthday.
Wisdom, great wisdom.
You know, while everybody's being seated, and when we lived in North Carolina, we would go to the Golden Corral down there. About the entire praise team would show up. I mean, we'd have a whole row of tables. And the youth pastor, or not youth pastor, but the music pastor, he didn't seem like he had that streak, but he did. You had to be careful. It might be your birthday. He would go and tell the hostess it's their birthday, and they'd come and they'd sing, you know how they do, and they'd sing happy birthday and make a big fuss about you, and you lean over and say, Leonard, my birthday isn't for 6 more months. He says, I know. Oh, but praise God. You're allowed to have fun. And if you're stuck in the mud and think, well, that's not fun, yes, it is. At least it was then. Well, praise God. Well, as I said, we're going to continue in pride, teaching on pride, not continue in pride. We've been talking about, last week we discussed murmuring and complaining. Today we're going to keep on in talking about pride, but I want you to pay attention to what's going on in our world, in our world, particularly the United States. You can look overseas, and it's been boiling there for years and years before it ever has overflowed into here. Pride is on the rise. Not a good pride. I'm proud I'm a sinner. I'm proud to be a degenerate. Just last night, I read the article, but I refused to watch the video of a homosexual coffee shop owner kicking a group of Christians out and cussing them out and saying what he'd do to Jesus. To be honest with you, I wouldn't be surprised to find out the man passes away shortly. But, because there's been many people that said things like that. John Lennon, we're bigger than Jesus. Wasn't much longer, John Lennon was dead. A few other people have said things about that, about Jesus, got their notoriety, and they didn't live much longer. Because I'm going to just tell you right now, God is a father first. You talk about my sons? You better be ready to fight. They may be all the things you said, but you don't get to say it to me. You're going to talk about them, you better go behind my back. Because if you got the audacity to say it where I can hear it, as Trace Adkins puts it in one particular song, the First Amendment was put there to protect you out there. It doesn't protect you from me. And that's the way God is. God loves us, all of his people, but Christians in particular, people that call upon his name. And the scary part is we all have the option to say, Jesus, be my Savior, be my Lord. And but God will not be mocked. But we have things such as that. And I want to tell you right now, more than likely, nothing will come of it. There will be no lawsuits. There will be no uprising in the UCLA or the Anti-Christian Liberties Union, ACLU. I have to say it that way so I can get it right. Because they don't protect anybody else's. Or they don't protect ours. They protect everybody else's against Christians. You won't see a rising up of that, because when pride comes in, pride says, I have done no wrong. Pride is what starts wars. It starts arguments in your home. We're going to read this in the scripture just in a moment. And pride will destroy you. It'll destroy your nation. It'll destroy your business. It will destroy everything. When people will not listen to how things are changing, you know, somebody says, hey, you know, boss, we're noticing this is not moving anymore. This isn't selling, but this is what the boss likes to carry. We say you're a shop owner. This is what I like to carry. It's what's always sold in the past. Well, how many of you figured out there's a whole new group of people buying today? And they don't necessarily buy the things you think are cool. Things I think are cool, my kids don't think are cool. And vice versa. Things I thought was cool, my dad didn't think was cool. And vice versa. But there's still a small market out there. But if you want to stay in business, you got to be right there knowing what is selling. If you're in the technology business, well, you know that changes every 6 weeks, something like that. If it even makes it to 6 weeks before it's outdated. So pride keeps us on our toes. As a matter of fact, let's just go ahead and open the Word. Proverbs chapter 11. And verse 2. When pride comes, then comes shame, but with the humble is wisdom. Now, I've said it before, I'll say it again, I'm just going to keep going on this, right, so that people understand it. Taking care of what God has given you is not prideful. Where it does come into pride is when you boast about, well, hey, you know, hey, I'm holy because I mow my grass. So what, the guy that doesn't mow his grass is any less holy? Our salvation is not based on whether we paint our house, clean our car, mow the grass, pick the weeds out of our flower beds. When you get to that and you start nitpicking on other people because of that, I tell you, I've been blessed that, you know, down the road I have a neighbor who doesn't mow his grass. Not whatsoever. Periodically, might run a bush hog through it. And that used to drive me nuts. I lived here in town, you know, kept my grass mowed. You know, the Marine Corps, when I base housing, we had to keep it no shorter than 3 inches and no longer than 3 inches. And they would measure it from time to time. Yeah, Marines are that way. Anyhow... we took pride in that. And so that creeped into me. And, you know, finally I've come to the point, you know, it's like, you know what? That's his property. It's not my property. I don't own that. Because I know people would come and say, well, why don't you weed eat there? Why don't you do this? It ain't bothering me none. I got other things to do besides walk around 2.5 acres with a weed eater. I can live with weeds. It's not bothering me. Well, it looks bad. If it looks so bad there, worry one, there's the weed eater. Knock yourself out. You do something about it. It's bothering you, not me. Now, I will say this about painting your house. If you got chipped paint, fix it. From a home improvement standpoint, fix it now. Now, okay? No, I won't paint your house. You can get somebody else to paint, but you need to paint. You need to do that stuff because you've got a large investment. It amazes me the number of people that will build a beautiful house and never once do anything to maintain it. I don't care about how you live. What baffles me is how you will spend $200,000 to build the house and never paint it, never recalk. This is all stuff that is costing you money. And when it's all said and done, well, I'm going to leave this to my children. You left them a pile of crap. You didn't maintain the house. It's got to be destroyed because the carpenter ants got in there. They ate the studs. Termites crawled in. But God has, you know, like I said, moving out there really worked on me on a lot of things. And one of them was, that's somebody else's property. I don't care. If they don't want to mow their grass, more power to you. I personally like my grass mowed. I'll tell you why. I don't like rats. They don't need any more cover. They get in anyhow. I'm not afraid of snakes, but I'll be honest with you, I don't like stepping on them. And I like walking out in my yard. I don't like catching my toes, especially with my knee being a little weak. Still, I don't like catching my foot on long grass and it twisting my knee around to the right. That hurts. But God has been working on me for some time now about letting go of those things. Things that I held as pride. Now, I like beautiful houses. I'm an architectural guy. I wanted to be an architect a long time ago, but y'all know how I feel about school. It just wasn't happening. The sad part is I can do the work. I just didn't want to go to school. And but I love looking at somebody else's work, the craftsmanship they've done and stuff, the time that they took to do something and to do it right. And, you know, and I know, I'll be honest with you, sometimes I haven't done everything always what everybody else says is right. Well, they wanted to charge you 10 times as much to do it what they say. You know, I love that one show with Mike, the guy with the overalls, and he comes and tells him exactly, this guy was an idiot. And I have to admit, I've done that a few times. We've all done it. But, you know, he comes in, and what they aren't telling you is if you do everything to what code says, it's going to cost you 10 times more. Okay, code isn't always right. Code is something we're guessing that this is going to how it's going to take care of it. Well, they've got a license. They passed a test. It doesn't mean they're doing their work right. Find out who's built houses and whose houses are still standing. There you go. And who came back and made repairs to things that they may have messed up. But anyhow, I'm not going down that road. Otherwise, I will get into complaining. See, I've told you, it's a slippery slope. Proverbs 13:10. By pride comes nothing but strife, and with the well-advised is wisdom. With pride, have you noticed what's going on in our country? Now, I will say that, I mean, I've been through a lot of presidents now. And, you know, and everybody says, oh, pride's a problem in our country. Way back, way back, way back. And, you know, and it was, but I'm going to be honest with you. We entered such a realm of pride few years ago that this country is in such strife now. You want to know why we're in strife? Because we're in pride. And here's what I got to tell you, folks. The church is to blame for some of it. How we treated people. They look different. Does anybody know what Jerry Lee Lewis was going to do for a living? Does anybody? He was going to be a preacher. He was in seminary. And he was playing the piano one day. Now, he grew up right down the road weren't honky-tonks. They were the black bars, where they played jive music. I mean, they were the ones that tore up the pianos. That's where he learned that from. And he started playing Amazing Grace faster than they wanted. And the headmaster walked up and smacked him up the side of the head, and that was it. Now, he should have dealt with his anger, but what I'm saying is, our stinking pride as religious people, do we seriously think God created all these different looking people? Look, none of you look alike. And I can promise you, you don't all like the same music. And there's some of you in here, it would surprise you what they like. I've made mine known. If you can't bang your head or get a little twang in there from time to time. I always tell people, I said, I'm a metalhead with a country boy heart. But for us to think that there's only one style of music, well, the angels are going to be singing whatever, just like this. I praise God when you get to heaven, you're going to find out, man, they got some screaming guitars. It's not all going to be, oh, the Gregorian chant. That is, I'm sorry, folks. I just can't see God, who created people to see in living color, having a stark raving white throne room. I just can't see it. Who created animals? Some of them are glorious in their display of beauty. And then you come over to the duckbill platypus and you think, dear Lord, what were you thinking? But God said, that is gorgeous. I may not like it, but somebody else does. You may not like the animals I like. And that's all right. But you see, when we start forgetting that other people have opinions, other people have likes and dislikes, it's the same. If I got up here, listen, y'all know I give Dodge a swift kick from time to time. Okay? I do. But the truth of the matter is, they're all the same. They've all got their strengths and they've all got their weaknesses. And it's just fun to pick on Dodge. But when I married her, I was a Ford man, straight up Ford. I used to sing like a rock. I bought a Chevy truck. And as a Marine, a rock was not a good thing. That was your IQ level. When we called somebody a rock, it wasn't because they were solid and strong. It's because they were dumb as a rock. I heard it a lot from my drill instructors. But over time, I've had one Ford truck and several Chevys. And there's so much that I like things about both of them. I think aluminum beds are not a real smart idea. Not with the stuff I throw in my truck. But they both have strengths and weaknesses. We can't argue over stupid things like that. That's what Paul said. Why do you argue over doubtful things? Why? Why do we argue over whether Ohio State's better or Michigan's better? And I'm going to be, y'all know how I will tell you flat up, I don't care if the team's winning, they are great. I root for Ohio State, but if they keep playing the low teams, and they come up against somebody who's ranked and out for blood, like Oklahoma was, you got to come out playing hard from the word go. But I'll tell you that, because I don't care. And I'm done with the NFL. But if I was going to root for anybody, it would have been the Steelers. I grew up when they were champions. I wanted to be Lynn Swan. You know how little boys do on the playground. We had one guy, it was always hilarious. Our guy always, he brought the football. He wanted to be Roger Staubach, though. he didn't want to be Terry. But why argue over stupid things? Like, it's strife. Churches have split when they started building projects. Why? Because they started saying, all right, everybody has a vote. No, you don't. Just come in and enjoy the church and we'll take care of what color it is. Well, I want pews. I don't like them hard plastic chairs. Well, they're great to move if you ever need them. Someday we may need to use this as an emergency shelter. You ever tried to move a pew when it's bolted to the floor? And even if not, them things are heavy. And really, really uncomfortable, even with padding. But pride comes in and destroys. It brings strife with it. It brings arguments with it. Why do you think husbands and wives fight? Because they each think they're right. That is it. We think we're right. And the truth of the matter is, there's probably truth in the middle, but we are so far off now, and the more we fight, the further away from the truth we get. That's why we bring up garbage from 15 years ago. Because we think we're right. When the truth of the matter is, we just need to say, okay, you know, let me look at it from your perspective. There's been times Angela comes in, what do you think about doing this? And I'm just like, are you kidding me? You know how long I've worked? And then I'll think, and she'll say, just hear me. And she usually, this is how she always prefaces all her thoughts anymore when she knows I've been working hard on something. Just hear me out. I just drop my hands and drop my head. How long is this going to take me? But sometimes it was nothing, and then I'm like, that was the way to go. It's beautiful. You know, we had a discussion the other day about the location of a light switch. Now, as the electrician, the guy who's going to have to drill holes through those 100-year-old beech studs, which I've got tools that'll do it, it's just I don't like doing it. She's like, why do you want the switch there? You'll see it. I said, well, yeah. But I said, it's easier. It's a straight shot for the wire to where I want to put the fan. She came back out, and I was outside working in the rain. The last 2 days I worked on the house, it decided to rain every time I went out and set up the saw. So I just covered it and kept working in the rain. But she came out, and she said, you know, honey, and I think she prefaced it, just hear me out. Could we put it over here on this wall? Would that make any difference? She wanted to wrap it around a corner. And what I'm finding out about that house is I'm not for certain whoever built it, the two additions, knew anything about construction. The way some things were, my original windows were held in by the trim. That was all that was holding my windows in, was the outside trim. There were no... I was like, oh, goodness gracious. Thank God for the replacements, because they at least ran screws into the studs. And, you know, I told her, I said, that's not a big deal. It's 6 more feet of wire. I can do that. See, but she started seeing my point, which then let me bring my fist down. Because basically that's what we're doing, isn't it? When we're arguing, we're ready. I'm going to defend and strike if I have to. With words. So when we argue, maybe we need to take a step back and look at it. Maybe somebody else is seeing something we're missing. That's why I will usually have, you know, when we tore off all the plaster and lath, anybody ever done that in an old home? You will hate plaster and lath when you take the nails out. Every less than an inch, there's a nail. Little teeny tiny nail. All the way up the stud, all the way across the ceiling, and all the way back on one stud. There could be over 100 nails. And they started pulling them. And they thought they'd had them all cleared and done. I said, no, you guys just keep moving, and a fresh set of eyes will come in behind you and find the ones you miss. Because I don't care how many times I've done it myself, I know that that's clear. I know. And then I go to put up the piece of drywall, and poof, punk. And there's a nail. I just poked through the drywall that I now have to fix a hole. So sometimes somebody else's view is the right one. Sometimes we need somebody else. It's pride and arrogance to say, I don't need anybody. That's exactly what it is. And I've told my family, I said, you know what? I crucified that part. I need you. I cannot do some of this stuff by myself anymore. 15 years ago, yeah, I did it with no problem. Today, you know what? I don't even have the motivation to think about moving that right now. I'll just wait until I got enough bodies here. And they do it. And it's so much quicker. And I didn't get hurt. Because right there's the thing that happens a lot anymore, because I try to do more than what I should. So with pride comes strife, but with the humble, with the well-advised comes wisdom. Somebody may just see something just a hair bit different. We're all so gung-ho for our own opinions, our own way of doing it. Sometimes there is two or three ways of doing it. And you know, and Jesse has learned, you know, as he started working with me, and he's like, "Dad, why are we doing it this way?" And I'm going to tell you right now, fathers, if your sons never asked you that, it's because they were afraid of you. And there's been times I said, just stop, just follow me and watch. This is why we do it. And then there's other times where he said, "Why can't we do it this way?" Let me stop. I think we can do it that way. There is more than one way to skin a cat. Just watch the videos on YouTube. Well, they're not skinning cats. They're skinning deer and other things. You can use a golf ball. But there's so many different things. But then there are other times that I thought, okay, you know what? Jesse, we're going to run it your way. And then he gets to the point. And this is where we start maturing as people. He got to the point. He's like, uh-oh. This ain't working. That's why we did it the other way. But I had to lower my pride to say, you know what? You need to grab hold of the lesson, more importantly than I need to be right. Because I will be right in a minute. And so he learns a lesson. But when he's right, I learned another way of doing something. So sometimes you just got to quit arguing and lower your pride. Joshua, I think, was three or four, and he told me that combines have hitches on them. And I looked at him and I said, "Buddy, combines do not have hitches on them. They don't pull things." And Bob's sitting over at the end of the table. He starts chuckling. And I looked at him. I was like, "What?" He says, "Well, they do have a little plate in the back for a ring so you can pull the header cart. So technically, it's a hitch." I was like, "Son of a monkey." That's when I quit learning to art. I started learning to quit arguing with guys whose viewpoint is down here where that hitch was at. My viewpoint was up here. And if I didn't look down, I wasn't going to pay attention to that. And they could be used to pull the combine back out. So yes, it is a hitch. But if all we ever focus on, folks, is what we want, how we want it, then we're never going to get anywhere. We're going to argue and argue and argue. And sometimes we need to exercise a little more humility and say, you know what? Okay, maybe I am wrong in this. Maybe I'm not 110% for sure. I don't know where they're going. I don't know what's going on. But it's arrogance for us to think that we can control everybody and everything. And we can't. I can't control everything in my own life. How am I going to control everything in their lives? I can give advice, but I don't know all the details in their lives. But neither do they know all the details in my life. Over, about the last 20 years, I started learning little tidbits about my own dad, about things that made him the way he is, good or bad. And what it's done is it started to help me to release any unforgiveness towards things I had, and to understand him a little bit better in those areas. And I'm going to tell you right now, folks, we're all in the same boat. We'll look at our dads, you're such a fool. You were this, you were that. Yeah, they were. But you know what? You're going to be just like them if you don't get it figured out. I learned certain things. Finding out more about my dad's childhood, about the family history there. I learned so much more. Now, here's the thing, though, folks. When we, as Christians, when we have the revelation of things, that's why I prayed that you get a revelation of something, even if it's not what I'm preaching on today. Revelation to you is the only thing that's going to change you. I can sit up here and preach the same message 6 weeks in a row, and different people will get something. And one person won't get a thing because they refuse to change. There's nothing wrong with me. I'm going to tell you right now, there's something wrong with all of us. We all just a little bit off. But that's what makes us unique. That's what makes us great. And if we can't, as friends, say, you know what, you're my friend. I was watching, I love watching MASH. And I was watching MASH last night, in particular episode, BJ and Hawkeye, for Frank Burns' birthday, they decided to argue. They were going to fight just to make Frank Burns happy. And it bothered Radar. He said, you know, people make friendships, but what you two have is real. And, you know, he, you know, obviously made him play the card, which upset Frank when he realized that he was happy and that it was all over. But the truth of the matter is, yeah, they had differences of opinions. They had differences of certain things, but yet in the same breath, they loved each other. And if we can't do that, how dare we say we love God? We don't love God. We love the thought of a God. We love people knowing we go to the biggest church in the county. We love people knowing that you know, we do all these things with the Kiwanis, the Lions, and whatever. We get into that. But if we can't love our friends and overlook their faults, because seriously, folks, if you don't have a fault, please raise your hand. I'll stop anybody who wants to slide it up. It's a trick question. But if we want God to use us, we have got to be humble. We can't be prideful. We cannot walk around thinking that the world revolves around our great wisdom. Because here's what I'm going to tell you, folks. We're going to get to heaven and God's going to say, you were so foolish. You didn't know your head from a hole in the ground. You thought you were so wise. Wisdom is not knowledge. Do you understand this? This is where people screw things up. Wisdom is not knowledge. Knowledge prevents you from operating in faith. Faith is what Isaac operated in when God told him to sow in a time of famine. Knowledge says you don't put the seed on the ground because it's just going to wither, and now you've wasted your seed. But faith worked with wisdom, which God built the world and the universes upon, and seed took root and grew in a famine. Go figure. God wants us to operate in faith. Faith operates by love. You see how the Bible goes? It's all one big circle, folks. And it all comes back to how we love. I do not think Solomon knew anything about love. Yeah, I know he wrote Song of Solomon. Big whoop. Maybe he found one person out of, yeah, all those women that really meant something to him. But you got to understand, they didn't marry. It's only been in, I don't know how many years that people married for love. They married for That's a smart move. Marry for money. This is a smart move. We'll take two families and unite them. We'll create an alliance. Solomon didn't know a thing about love. He had all the money in the world. He is believed to have funded crusades, as far as investigative crusades, even to North America, South America, Central America. They have found writings in caves in ancient Hebrew. That was 2,000 years before Jesus, roughly there. Tell me how exactly that got there. Even the Hebrews today can't read ancient Hebrew. He had all this stuff, but yet, in the end, he said it was all vanity. I had the women. I had the clothes. I had the palaces. I had all the cars, all the boats. And it was all for naught. He even built the temple. Glorious, glorious temple. One thing God never asked for. He's never asked for a building. He said, I want you. But I don't want you thinking that you're better than your neighbor. We've got opinions. Most of the time, we should keep them to ourselves. If you want to see God move miraculously in your life, start operating in humility, which is wisdom, which fuels faith, which has to operate by love. And you'll see God move on your life, on people's lives around you. Here's what I've discovered, folks. When people make decisions and they stick to their decision, right or wrong, wrong, can I emphasize the word wrong again? They know it's wrong, but we made a decision and we're going to stick to it? That's foolishness. And you will have to suffer in foolishness. I've seen people do it. I've done it. I knew that. Ugh. I knew that was stupid. That's the word I use for foolish, okay? Stupid. I knew better. I've done a lot of stupid things. I knew better than to do that. I knew better. I knew better. I knew that was going to bite me in the butt. They're going to sneak right up there and get me. And it does every time, doesn't it? But this is where I have to thank God for His grace. I'm going to have to learn a lesson. I'm going to have to suffer some for my decision. I'm going to stop you right there. People preaching, you don't have to. Yes, you do. Every decision you make has a result, good or bad, and you will have to deal with what you did or what you said. But God can soften the repercussions. If I go out and round up my neighbor's yard, I'm going to have to deal with a loss of reputation, possibly a lawsuit, maybe some EPA violations. So I'm going to deal with it. Instead of, you know what? It bothers me. I'm going to mow his yard. He didn't ask me to mow it, but I'm going to mow it. I don't know why he doesn't, but I'll mow it. And then I'll shut up about it and suck it up and do what I should do. He didn't ask me to mow it. I'm going to mow it. Don't let the good things God has for you be taken away because of pride, folks. I've seen families destroyed because of pride. Lots and lots of families. And the truth of the matter is, all they had to do was look and say, maybe there's another way to skin that cat. It may not have been as efficient, but you let somebody else make a decision. See, I was never allowed to make any decisions growing up. Not one decision. I didn't decide what I was wearing to school. Well, I decided what I was putting on that day, okay? Didn't get to go make my decision at the store. So I wore some things in a country school that belonged in an inner city school. And I stuck out like a sore thumb. I just wanted Lee's or Levi's. Just blue jeans. I had a pair of pants with 29 zippers on them. Yeah. And every one of them worked. I know. Played with them in study hall. But you see, you have to allow your children to start making decisions. Those of you who have children. Sometimes your spouse needs to have a say in something. I'm going to say this, and then that way it's out. It's the way I feel. I heard a preacher one time say something, you know, his calling was to preach, and his wife, the house belonged to her. She decorated it. She took care of everything. He didn't have anything to say about it. That was him. I live in my house too. And you can ask her. We will go toe-to-toe on certain things. And it's like, well, especially me, because I'm like, I'm the one doing the work. You want me in with you on this, so let's compromise. Let's do something. And when we compromise, we find out it was so much better for the both of us. Peace came in. I got the job done quicker. And we both were able to enjoy it. It's both of your houses. And if a man's house is his castle, he needs to feel secure in it too. My house isn't all soft and frilly, but neither is it all paneling, which I don't like. There's a mix. And it's both of us. We're eclectic. That's why a farmhouse works great for us. There was one thing I know she didn't like about, we had a beautiful craftsman, but when you have a house that's built in a specific style like that, you have to decorate. The furniture that was designed for it has to be in that house. It's like taking furniture that doesn't belong in a log cabin and putting it in a log cabin. You know, if you live in a log cabin, you know certain furniture works and certain furniture don't. And certain furniture did not work in a craftsman home. So we were having to now rethink our entire strategy on our decorating, because it's like, we want this to be comfortable and to feel like it belongs, not something's wrong. I don't believe in feng shui, but as far as an ideology, but I'm going to tell you right, there's a sometimes when something's just wrong. That's all there is to it. It's wrong. Change it. And I joke with her all the time. We every time we go to like Rural King or I forget where I keep seeing them at. Menards. They have those camouflage recliners. I'm going to tell you, I'd never buy a camouflage recliner. No, I'm sorry. I would have a I wore camouflage every day for 4 years. It's taken a while just to even get into the mossy oak stuff. But I don't want to live in a camouflage room. Let God, folks, work in you. If you see something that your spouse is doing, pray on how to talk to them about it. Because I will tell you right now, when if you're married, you already know this. If you've been married, you know this. If you hit it head on at the wrong time, you got to fight. And even though you may think, well, I prayed about it. Let me tell you a little something. The Navy blasted the bejeebers out of Iwo Jima for 2 months. There wasn't a scrap of vegetation left on that thing. And when the Marines landed and there was no gunfire at first, everybody thought, hey, no problem. We took care of them all. Found out we didn't kill one. Not a one. There were 20,000 Japanese soldiers ready to come out of those holes. We didn't do a thing. Imagine not softening it up. Let God work on their heart. Pray for them first. Let Him get in there. Because if you go at it if you're ready for the confrontation of it and it's not the right time, it's going to be bloodshed, spiritual bloodshed. Okay? It will not be a good thing. You need to let God, especially if they're saved, and even if they're not. The Bible doesn't say God can only move Christians. He said the heart of the king is in his hand and he can turn it like a river. He didn't say the king had to be a Christian. As a matter of fact, most of the time they're not. But allow him to work, okay? You want to end the strife in your house? You need to sit down. And that's how we started doing it. You know, when we started having our dreams, and she started telling me what her dream was, I started telling her what my dream was, and we found out, hey, our dreams aren't exactly on the same plane. And then we started, as the song goes, you start walking my way, I'll start walking yours, and we'll meet in the middle. And it'll be our dream. Let God do that for you. Will you? By the way, it's not going to happen if you never talk. God gave you a mouth and 2 ears. And I realize that by telling this to maybe 2 people who are arguing, that means you listen twice as much as you talk. One of you is going to have to talk so the other one can listen. But then remember, you have to give them the same courtesy. I've got things to share down the road about the whole male, female, man, woman thing, about man in general. When I say man, I mean mankind. But I want us to understand, first off, folks, pride is not a good thing in our lives. Pride is not what makes you, unless you revel in the fact that I'm holy because I do. Listen, if you're doing things at the church because you think it makes you holy, you're foolish. You're only holy through what Jesus Christ did for you. You serve others for fulfillment. I know in the Amish community, they take great pride. They want to live a simple life. You got to understand this. This is the paradox of their beliefs. They live a simple life because they don't want to be vain, right? But yet they take great pride in that. It's a catch-22. You can't. And many of the kids that are raised up in there, they either come out and they find out real freedom in Jesus Christ and they get saved, or else they rumspringing 2017 and they go way far away. But we cannot keep thinking that God's going to keep moving in our mess if we're fighting amongst ourselves all the time. Realize quickly that when you're butting heads with anybody. Listen, this is anybody, not just your spouse. I just used that one because most of us in here have been in that situation. Okay, but it doesn't matter. You're butting heads with somebody, understand what the things are. And if you're butting head with a government agency, well, you've got to keep in mind, they've got rules and regulations they have to follow. And there are people that will say, you know what, I'm going to follow the intent of the law versus the letter. Because there's so much that the letter of the law is wrong in. But the intent had a good intent. That's why laws are so... Let's see, speed limit 55 is a good thing. If you got a dying child in your car and you can only go 55, it's not a good thing. Because by law, even the ambulance has to follow that. Now, if I was the ambulance driver, I never would, but that's me. Let's stand. You know, so many people are trying to battle things in the spiritual realm for this country, and the problem is they're not addressing the right one. They're going after all these, listen, all sin, let's just get it right out on the thing, all, A-L-L, we all know the commercial, all sin has its root in pride, every bit of it. It does. It's all rooted in pride. Okay? You're not going to stop homosexuality unless you deal with pride. It's not a homosexual spirit. It's pride. Lies. Pride. You're protecting yourself. You're trying to manipulate a situation. It's all stinking pride. When you deal with that, I'm going to tell you right, folks, you'll start seeing, people want revival in this country. And they keep thinking that they're going to create it by having big camp meetings and stuff and people rolling on the floor and dancing on the chairs, whatever. And the people do not actually change. They got caught up in a moment, walked out the door in the same pride. Because I don't know about you, but my Bible says, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves, not lift themselves up in pride. You know, I hate to say it, but we realized that shortly into the Jesus celebration, that's exactly what we were doing. Look at us. We're going to dance down the streets. We're going to do this. We're going to do that. Man, there's enough parades. We could have put a float in there at any time. We didn't need to create a Jesus celebration parade. That was kind of fun. But it didn't do anything, not one bit. Churches didn't come together because we're all pretty prideful. And the ones that tried, yeah. If you're stuck by rules and regulations, you can't get free from them unless you totally walk away. So if you want to pray for revival in this country, pray for the spirit of pride to be broken. And it doesn't always necessarily mean that God has to send an invading army to bring us to our knees. Hallelujah. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you and we praise you for your word, Lord. We praise you for the many things that you are revealing to us today about ourselves. Ourselves, Father. I don't want any revelation on my wife. I don't want a revelation on my friends, on anybody but me. I can't change them. But through your precious Holy Spirit, I can change me. Father, help us all in that area. Help us to deal with these things, with our religious attitudes, with our mindsets that we're always right and everybody else is an idiot. Father, help us to overcome this so that we may walk victoriously in all the things you have. May we be the light to the world. Maybe we be the salt of the earth, as we are called. May we season it and preserve it for good, rather than over-seasoning and spoiling it. Now, Father, I thank you and I praise you for each and every soul here today. Father, I pray for those that are out sick. Father, those that are traveling, Lord, we bless them as well. But again, Father, for those who just want to lay home and say, I just don't feel like going today, Lord, shake them, wake them. Father, again, I bless your people today in Jesus' name. Amen.